I'm going to talk to you some about our spring attendance campaign. Don't misunderstand. We are going to take 4 Sundays in the month of April and put an extra push on helping people and reaching souls for Jesus Christ. But we don't do that just for 4 weeks in the spring and 4 weeks in the fall. We do it 52 weeks a year. There are some churches that would attempt, you know, to have a revival for a week out of the year or maybe 2 weeks. I'm a 52-weeker. I believe 52 weeks a year we ought to be out to help people. 52 weeks a year we ought to be getting people saved. 52 weeks a year we ought to want to see lives changed. We have a little bit of fun with it. We'll pick a little theme. Sometimes we give a gift or two away, a reward away. God's a gift giver. God's a reward giver. You look at heaven. What a great, great reward. He didn't have to tell us about heaven, but he chose to. And that's a wonderful thing. We are calling our spring program a people factory, and you can see the sign behind me here. I think we're all about reaching people, helping people. And we've set aside the 4 weeks of April, starting on April 2, concluding on April 23. We're going to have an extra push in regard to helping and reaching people. On Sunday, April 2, we're going to have Friend and Neighbor Day. And we have some little novel gifts and things we're going to be giving away in Sunday school and all. But if you bring, for my adult crowd especially, do I want you to understand, if you bring a guest that fall into these categories, we want to reward you for doing so. The best thing I could think of in the whole wide world to give you are Krispy Kreme pies. If you bring someone that's not an adult, that's not been to our church since January 1 of this year, we'll give them a box of these as a gift for coming. We'll give you one because you've been good and you brought them. And it'd be better than you taking their pies away from them because they're your visitor. But we're going to give those things away. And it's just a little bit of fun. Nothing wrong with feeding people and having a little bit of fun. But it's going to be Friend and Neighbor Day on April the 2nd. So you get your friends to come and a neighbor to come. And here's how you do it. You just go to your neighbor and say, "Oh, my pastor, you know how them pastors are. He's asked us to invite our neighbor, so I needed to come over here and invite you, and I sure would like for you to come." But you know how them pastors are. You can use me as an excuse to invite your friends, those of you that have any friends. I should have had enemy day. We could have filled this place up. But April the 2nd, Friend and Neighbor Day. Then April the 9th, we're having Workmate and Boss Day. In other words, now you use the same approach. And again, all 4 weeks, you bring a guest that's not been here in this calendar year, and they have to be an adult. We're going to give you a box of these Krispy Kreme pies. They have apple, they have cherry, and they have chocolate. Now, the chocolates sell out really fast, but we located them. And so I'm getting my gun. I'm going to go get some of them. But we're going to give these throughout. You get a workmate or you get a boss to come on that day. And truth is, you get any adult visitor anytime during the program, we're going to give them the pies and you. But we're specifically asking you to reach out to the people that you work with and to your boss. And you say, "Oh, I'm a little timid about asking my boss." Here's the approach. My pastor, he does some silly things down at the church, and he's told us we're supposed to go and invite our boss to church. And it'd be great if you'd come and get my pastor off my back for me. You know what? Some of you, your boss is going to come for you that way, because some of you are just too chicken to do it without my help. On April the 9th, that's Workmate and Boss Day. Then on April the 16th, also Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, we're going to call it Family Day. And you just get your family to come on that day. And then the very last week, we're calling it Children's Day, and we're going to have a baby dedication day that day. Children in our church under the age of 3 with their parents got a nice little New Testament that we'll give the boys and the girls, and we'll have at the beginning of our service, we'll have a baby dedication time. Now, you need to understand something. Baby dedication is just a mom saying or a dad saying, "We want to raise our child in the service of the Lord." That's all it is. Now, we'll not fill the auditorium with babies. Babies will still use the nursery, but during that service time, we'll have the baby dedication. Now, on Sunday night, April 23, we're going to honor the people that have been members of this church for more than 15 years. And so don't forget about that. Now, the person that brings the most guests, and that's adults, that's anyone that's not been here since January 1, there's a big basket of just all sorts of Krispy Kreme things out there. in the hallway. We'll give that to you as a gift. Mrs. Owens and I are going to take you to breakfast down to Jacksonville. There's a Krispy Kreme donut shop there. Now, you know, I'm not going to take you to breakfast there because we'll get you so high on sugar it could kill you. But we're going to take you someplace for nice steak and eggs kind of a breakfast and then take you by Krispy Kreme for dessert. We'll be watching for the light to be on. Anybody know what that means, the light coming on? That's more important than when the light comes on the dashboard of your car. But we're going to baptize all 4 weeks of the program. And so that's a little idea about our spring program. Now, a few weeks ago, we were in Sunday school. We looked at the book of 3 John. And when I was looking at it, I noticed that there were attitudes there in 3 John that could come in really handy in regard to this thing of our spring attendance push. If you will, take your Bible and turn to 3 John. 3 John, that's all the way back there in the back of your Bible. If you get to Revelation and just start flipping back, you're going to find it. 3 John, and I'm going to read, we're going to read about 12 verses here that I'll refer to. And so, if you will, once you find 3 John, stand with me, please. You stand with me, 3 John, and I'm going to read most of this chapter. And as you look this way, and let me tell you something, what I'm about to do. There are three primary people mentioned in 3 John. Each one of these three people have a different attitude about the church. What I'm going to do is I want to compare the attitude of these three people, their attitude toward the church, and I want to compare it a little bit to what kind of attitudes we could have toward a spring attendance push. And I think you'll see the correlation. Starting with 3 John, verse number 1, it says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, who I love in the truth." Now, that's the first person we're going to talk about, Gaius. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, but therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes," now there's the second person we're going to talk about, "who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Therefore, if I come, I remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God." And now we see personality number 3, a man named Demetrius. Verse 12, "Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true." Let me pray. Father, bless us now. In the short time that remains, I certainly want to show us something in the scripture. But Father, I want us to be challenged about our attendance drive. We want to help people. We want to meet the needs of people. We want to help children and teenagers and their families. We want to help marriages. We want to make an impact. We don't want to be a church that just sits idle and watches the world go up in flames, but we want to make a difference. So, Father, today, in a unique and a special way, we take a path for the sermon that's a little different, but Father, use it to help us to help a lot of people. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll have a seat there. In this book of 3 John, we perhaps have the most concise summary of three different types of church members that could be as a part of the church. John, the writer, is now old, and he writes this letter called 3 John to a man by the name of Gaius, G-A-I-U-S. Gaius was the very best Christian in the church. And the entire book or letter that he wrote describes a church and three of its members. There's a man named Gaius, a man named Demetrius, and a man named Diotrephes, three different people. Let me describe them to you very quickly, and then I'm going to jump through the scripture and show you some things about them. The description of these, Gaius was, and this is the guy that he's above average. He is a productive, on-fire Christian. He just wants to get the job done for Jesus Christ. Then, there's a man by the name of Demetrius. Demetrius is very, very average. If Gaius is on fire, Demetrius is warm. He's not cold, but he's not just all fired up for God. And then there's a third personality, the guy named Diotrephes. This guy's below average. He's cold and he's negative. So you have Gaius, the fiery fella, just pumped for God. You have Demetrius, kind of average, mediocre kind of a guy, and then you have Diotrephes, and he is cold and negative. Now, Gaius was an excellent, excellent man. He's a productive man in the church. While Demetrius, he produces. He wants to reach people. Now, Demetrius, he attends church. He doesn't bring people with him, but he attends church, and thank God for him. Then you have Diotrephes. Boy, he's got such a bad attitude, he runs people off. So you've got somebody that's reaching them, somebody that's kind of neutral about the whole thing, and then somebody that's got such a bad attitude, people don't even want to be around them. Do you know that you're all going to fit into one of these three categories? You either want to reach them, or you're neutral about it, you show up, or you can have such a testimony and such a way about you that when we do get people in, they say, I don't want to be around that person. I hope you're not a Diotrephes, a Demetrius at least, but if I could get you to decide, I'd like to have some of that Gaius in me, which is a fiery, productive Christian. It'd be fantastic. Now, I want to talk to you about Gaius for a few seconds. If you were to read in 3 John, verse 1 through 8, you see him. He was faithful to the truth. It says there in verse 1, whom I love in the truth. Then it tells us he was a spiritual man. In verse number 2, it says that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Look back at me for a second. Let me explain that to you. John said to Gaius, he said, I wish that you were as healthy physically as you are healthy spiritually. Wow. Can you imagine? You are so spiritually healthy. Evidently, Gaius probably had some physical ailments. And John is saying, boy, I wish you were as healthy physically as you are spiritually. Now, for some of you, you should never wish that, because you'd be immediately physically deformed because of your spiritual lack of desire to serve God. But this guy, Gaius, pretty big compliment. He had a good testimony, according to verse 3. It says, when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee. So people testify. They say, this guy named Gaius, he's a real deal. He loves God. He's fired up for God. In verse number 3, it says, the truth that is in thee. In other words, he believed the Bible. He carried his Bible. He read his Bible. He was known for believing the Bible. And he was a joy. And Gaius was a comfort to the man of God. In verse number 4 there, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So John said, Gaius thrills me. He makes me excited about the way he wants to serve God. And in verse number 5, it says that he was extremely faithful. It says, thou doest faithfully what thou doest. In other words, I don't think Gaius was a hit and miss kind of a Christian. I think if you could count on him. He was where he's supposed to be when he was supposed to be there doing what he was supposed to do. You find out in verse number 5, he treated other church members properly. It says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. So Gaius is a productive, excited, pumped up, fired up Christian. He's on board. He wants to get something done for God. And he treats other people in the church with that excitement and that thrill. It says in verse number 5, it teaches us that he was very hospitable. It says, and to strangers. It's talking about, hey, when visitors come to the church, they see Gaius and they say, that guy, he's excited. He's happy to be at church. And folks, let me tell you something. We may face a lot of burdens in life, but when we get a chance, boy, we ought to let the joy of the Lord be seen in our life. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I can tell you this one thing that'll help you. You're not in hell. I'd probably get a smile on my face about that. He was hospitable, and it says in verse number 6 that Gaius helped others. It says, which bore witness of thy charity before the church. In verse number 8, it tells us he was a part of the work that God was doing in the church with the man of God. It uses these words, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. So, here you've got this guy by the name of Gaius. Verse 1 through 8, who is this guy? He's fiery. He's above average. He's productive. He's involved. He's happy. He's good to people. He's reaching people. And when other people reach people, he's excited that they reach people. He's the church has not become old hat, commonplace to him. He doesn't have the attitude, I paid my dues, let somebody else do it. No, he says, I want to do it. I want to be a part. I want to be where the action's at. I want to be used of God. I want to be productive. I not only want to win people to Jesus Christ, I want to, as we were told on Wednesday night, I want to produce some producers. I want to see some people that just serve God. Now, that's the first person here. Secondly, we have the guy by the name of Demetrius, if I could. I don't think Demetrius, according to the scripture, is real talented. He's not as strong, maybe, as a leader as was Gaius. But I think Demetrius was faithful. He was a solid church member. He was a spectator to some degree. Understand, now, Gaius, he was a participator. Demetrius is a bit of a spectator. You say, what's the difference? Well, the participator, he's out there doing something. Got him a class, got him a bus route, going soul winning, inviting people, passing out gospel tracts. He's involved with the growth of people and the growth of the church. Demetrius, he basically came and watched. He was a watcher. He sat in the stands and he watched. Now, he didn't boo. He wasn't hissing. But he wasn't doing much. But he would come in, plunker down, and sit down and watch everybody else do things. And so that's a Demetrius. The Bible tells us in verse number 12, he had a good reputation. Says, hath good report of all men. The Bible tells us in verse number 12 that he too walked in the truth. In other words, he was a Bible believer. It says, and of the truth itself. He did a good job, but maybe not without, not a lot of fanfare. He was average. He was not, we will say it this way, Demetrius was not on fire for God, but he didn't walk around with a bucket of water throwing it on the people that were on fire. So he wasn't extinguishing someone's fire. He wasn't a big producer, but he would help. Maybe Demetrius, he had been involved in the past, not anymore. Maybe Demetrius was the guy that could say, well, I remember back when I used to have a Sunday school class, and I remember back to when I used to work on the bus route, and I remember back to when I used to go soul winning, and I remember back when I used to bring visitors. He had a lot of I remember back stories. You know what I mean. Not doing anything now. He's depending on what he did back then, but somebody's got to do it now because there still is a world that's lost and dying and going to hell. Thank God that everybody's not a Demetrius, and I know everybody won't be a Gaius, but that's probably who Demetrius is. Now, I gotta hurry. You gotta listen faster. Diotrephes, now, here's the third guy. If you listen to everything the scripture said about him, this guy's a troublemaker. He wanted to be a big shot. The Bible says, loveth to have the preeminence among them. In other words, he's got a pride issue. He could be an attention seeker. He was a thorn in the flesh to the man of God. If you look at verse number 9, John said, he receives me not. In other words, he's saying, this Diotrephes guy rejects the pastor and rejects the church leadership. He had a wicked tongue, according to verse number 10. It says, prating against us with malicious words. He has sown discord among the brethren. In other words, he's a Facebook flunky that gets on Facebook and says things about people that he shouldn't be saying. That's in the Greek language there. In verse number 10, it says, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, for he biddeth them it would. In other words, he's dogging the Demetrius. He's on Gaius's case. He doesn't like it. And one reason why is because Gaius and Demetrius are trying to do something for God, but Diotrephes, he's dead weight. He's negative. He's got a bad attitude. And I think, according to everything that you read there, he was against the church program. He was critical. He was cynical. He was a non-producer. He extinguished fires instead of helped to keep them going. He had the potential of running people off because they didn't like his attitude. All he could see is the negative. He was a miserable person, and he wanted to spread it. Now, those three people, you've got a Gaius, you've got a Demetrius, you've got a Diotrephes. Those are three personalities that are in the church. You've got people that are on fire or wanting to do something for God, still believe that God wants revival in His church, and then you've got others that are just they'll walk in, plunker down, listen. They'll be there. I'll be there, but I don't want to participate much. And then you have those that would dismantle things with attitude, and they're just negative about everything. Now I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I've been doing revivals, or in the spring we have a spring program, in the fall we might have a fall program. We set aside a few Sundays and we reach out in an extra way to get people saved and to help people and reclaim the backslidden, if you will. It occurred to me, those three men, their attitudes are indicative of the attitudes that church members can have during a revival meeting or during a spring attendance campaign. Those attitudes are what we face. And it might not be as easy for you to recognize as it is for me. My job is to help the church and to keep the church on top side. And folks, there's all sorts of excuses out there why churches don't grow. But the main reason churches don't grow is because people don't do what they're supposed to help a church to grow. That's what it's all about. You say, well, in these days, you just can't reach people in these days. Do you know the Bible teaches us? You say, it's so wicked. The Bible says where sin did abound, did grace much more abound. God's hands aren't tied. Fooey on this stuff that you can't have revival. Fooey on this stuff that you can't reach people. You say, but Pastor, boy, they're so negative and there's so much nasty in the world. I know that creates a great need. And wow, we've got an opportunity to reach people and to help people. Now, let me, if you will, I'm going to talk to you about those three men and their personalities. We looked at a dozen plus verses about them. But I want to show you those men, and Brother Tyler, you can help me right there. And I want to show you how they compare to attitudes that you and I as church members could develop toward a spring attendance campaign. Let's start out with the one I like, Gaius. He was excited, and he was productive. And this guy, I think when Pastor John, if John said, boy, let's pull out all stops. Let's fill a pew. Let's get excited. I think Gaius was sitting on the front row saying, amen, Pastor. Amen. He wanted to be involved. He talked positive about that time. He even got other people excited. He planned to participate. He was going to go out of his way. You know what he was going to do? He was going to invite his friends on friend day, and he was going to invite his neighbors on neighbor day, and he was going to invite his workmate on workmate day, and he was going to even reach out and try to get his boss to come on boss day, and he was going to get family to come on family day, and he wanted to be involved. He wanted to be a part of it. He didn't look at it and say, oh, that's silly. No, he said, that's good. That's good. Give me a reason. Give me a cause. Hey, give me a piece of that. I want to get involved. He was going to go out of his way to get involved. I believe that he was on fire for God. We give some gifts away. I think Gaius said, you know what, Pastor? Those Krispy Kreme pies, they are pretty good. And you know what, Pastor? I could even use that. I'll tell somebody that I'm going to get them some Krispy Kreme pies. And if they don't want them, I'll take theirs too. But I don't think he said, oh, that's stupid. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. If you think the pies I'm giving away are stupid, then you give something away that you think is intelligent. You say, well, I don't think you ought to give anything away at all. Why? So you won't bring anybody like you do anyway? Well, if you can do it without me giving you pies, I'm all for it. I save $3. But usually it's not a producer that criticizes the little novel gift that you're giving away. It's a non-producer. It's not going to do anything anyway. But I happen to believe that Gaius said, I'm going to tell somebody about the pies. And I'm going to go to my friends and say it's friend day at the church. And I'm going to do that. Gaius, he added to the spirit with his positive attitude. And he got him some visitors. And I'll tell you what, if Gaius didn't have visitors, he tried. He wanted to. It wasn't for a lack of trying. He wasn't embarrassed of his church. He wasn't cowardly. He wasn't afraid to go to his next door neighbor and invite them to church. He wasn't afraid to ask somebody at work to come. Hey, listen, if Gaius owned a business in the church, I'm going to guess that Gaius said to some of his employees, "How'd you like to have some pies?" He's not afraid. He brings those, and I think Gaius would reach out to maybe some of the church members that had gotten off track. And he said, I want you to come and be a part of this. Now, I think Gaius was faithful, but I don't think he was just faithful. I think he encouraged faithfulness, and I think he wanted to be productive. He wanted his church to be successful. He wanted his church to grow. I think Gaius wanted to tell others about Jesus. Hey, Gaius was the kind of guy, when the altar call was given, he was excited to see people coming and getting saved. He loved watching people kneel at the altar. You see, there are some people that, boy, you get somewhere near time to shut church down, they've got their watch out, or probably their telephone, so you sneak, use your phone, so you can see exactly what time it is, and you're thinking, when in the world is this pastor going to shut down? I need to get to lunch. Doesn't he realize I've got to get to lunch? There are other people, when I give the invitation, they're oblivious. They're just glad somebody's getting saved. They're glad somebody came to the church. They're glad somebody used the altar. They're excited about that. They're not bummed. They're not saying, "Oh, I can't believe he kept us 5 minutes over." Well, you should have heard the Apostle Paul one time in the Bible, in the book of Acts, he preached till midnight to the point where people were falling asleep, falling out of the loft, and dying. I've not preached a sermon that long before. But Gaius was, he said, "I like this, I want this, I want to be a part of it." And I'll tell you this, Gaius had a pretty long-term testimony. I don't think Gaius was a 19-year-old young buck that had all this respect and everything. I think Gaius was a long-term, consistent Christian. So you say, "Yeah, Gaius was just somebody new in the church." Well, yeah, new people get excited about serving God. But I'll tell you something. You don't have to be a new person to get excited about serving God. Some of you that have been around a while, what some of you need to do is get off your rocking chair of watching everything happen and get involved. You have neighbors too. You have bosses too. You have family too. You say, "Well, I paid my dues." Nobody has paid their dues. As long as we're on the face of this earth, we've got to keep reaching people. We need to reach out and salvage families and give boys and girls save moms and dads and change their life and get a Bible in their hand. You say, "I love America." If you really love America, you need to start keeping people out of hell, because this country's in terrible shape if we don't turn her back to God. And I'm not talking about the God of your choice. I'm talking about Jehovah God of the Bible. And if you want to help your country, then you need to make sure you're doing something to turn America back to God. And that's not going to happen because of the White House. It's going to happen because of the church house. It's going to happen because of your house. But the White House won't turn this country back to God. They're not going to win people to Jesus. They're not going to lift the Bible up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." That is what will turn us back to God, the Word of God. Gaius was excited, productive, involved, committed. He's done this before. Wasn't his first trip around the block. Gaius didn't say, "Wow, this is exciting. I've never seen anybody give pies away." He'd seen them give everything under the sun away. Pies and pickles and hot dogs and bubble gum. But you know what? He said, "Pies! I can get excited about that." Because of the pie? No. Because of Gaius. Gaius wasn't excited because of the program. Gaius was excited because of Jesus. Gaius was excited because he loved the Lord. And the pie just gave him a little something to do and have some fun along the way. That's who Gaius was. That was his attitude. I think if John would have had a spring program, I think Gaius would have said, "Let's go! Let's do this! Let's make something happen! Let's get energized!" Okay, there's another guy here. Demetrius. Remember, we studied him. We looked at what the Scripture said. He was faithful. Not afraid to mention the church here and there. And let me tell you all something. You say, "Well, Pastor, I am just not this effervescent bottle rocket time of a kind of a Christian ready to explode all over the place. I'm not like that." Okay. Now you can get some of that. I'm not sure anybody is that way. They work at being that way. But I'll tell you this. If all you do is fill a chair, I need you. I don't want you to get the impression that you say, Pastor, I don't think I could go out and fill a bus up, and I don't think I could fill a Sunday school class up. Okay, I understand. Make sure that you'll at least be faithful then. Well, I think Demetrius was faithful. I heard a preacher one time say these words. He said, look, he said, if you're not going to go out and win people to Christ and bring them into the church and get them saved and get them baptized and get them down the aisle, why don't you just clear out of your seat at the church and make room for a soul winner? Now, when he said that, I thought, well, that's good preaching, but that's really dumb. I'm not sure that's a good idea. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? If you never win anybody to Christ, I want you to come to church, and I want you to be here, and I want you to be in your place. That's the least you could do. It's important that you're here. Now, Demetrius was not on fire for God, but he wasn't totally cold. I don't think he was critical. I don't think when the pastor announced we're going to have a spring program, if Demetrius were sitting right beside Gaius, Gaius was going, That's good. This is good. I want to be a part of this. This is going to be good. And Demetrius, I don't think Demetrius said, now shut up. Chill out. Relax. Take a chill pill. I don't think he did that. I think he was glad for old Gaius to be excited. I think he felt like, okay, sure, if you want to be excited, be excited. I don't think that Demetrius was negative. I think he probably encouraged Gaius. He probably said, go for it, Gaius. You know, what some of you say, well, I'm not going to work on a bus route, and I may not go out soul winning, and we all ought to be telling others about Jesus. But, you know, what at least you could do is you could say to a bus captain, I'm praying for you, and you could be for what's happening. Hey, look, if all you're going to do is be a spectator, why don't you be a spectator that's enjoying the game? I don't think he was critical. Demetrius was not critical of the program. I don't think Demetrius was critical of the fact that they gave some pies away. I think he enjoyed the program time. He just didn't get real involved. He was glad to see others participate. He didn't try to slow them down. He tried to encourage them, and he used the tool of praise. He wants the church to grow and to be successful. He cares about the church, but not like Gaius. He's willing to be a part, but not a big part. Okay, all right. I could see a church having both of those personalities. A Gaius, on fire, involved, going to make something happen, going to get some visitors. And if he doesn't get visitors, it won't be for a lack of trying. Because he invited and he stuck his neck out and he had he was encouraging people to come. And then a Demetrius, he'll be here. Folks, at least during a spring push, show up at church. Don't take a 4-week vacation during 4 weeks of the spring program. Be in your place. And then we get to number three. This guy's a bummer. Diotrephes. Who's he? He's the critic. Pastor John stood up and said, we're going to have a spring program. And Diotrephes said, oh, great. Eeyore, you know. Oh, woe me. Here we go again. This is what he said. It's already too crowded. I promise you, you can find buildings everywhere that are not. You say, well, what are we going to do? Then we'll build another building. So how are we going to do that? Same way we did the last one. We'll fake our way through it till we figure out how to do it. You've seen our technique. Diotrephes is a fire extinguisher. Boy, the pastor said, we're going to have a push and reach a bunch of people. And some bus captain said, amen. And Diotrephes went, critical, negative. Discourages others. Critical. Those Krispy Kreme pies are stupid. That's Diotrephes. You're bribing people. Now, you ought to get the dictionary out and look at a bribe. It's to pay money to do something wrong. Not a bribe. If it's a bribe, then why did God tell us about heaven? God a briber? Is that a word? It is now. God gives rewards and treats people right. We're not giving away anything bad. I'm not giving away drugs or cigarettes. I'm not giving that sort of, wouldn't give anything stupid like that away, but give them some Krispy Kreme pies. You don't realize this, but in the Hebrew language, Krispy Kreme, that's manna. You doubt it? Have you ever had them? He gripes, Diotrephes, he gripes, it's too crowded. He gripes, there's not enough parking. I know there's not enough parking, but we're trying to do the best that we can. But if I were you, I wouldn't pick a church based on parking. And I wouldn't pick a church based on, do you feel like you got a half-empty auditorium? If I were picking a church, I'd want to find one where they fill the parking lot. I want to find one where they're filling the baptistry. I want to find one where they're filling heaven. I want to find one where they're filling their Sunday school classes. I wouldn't want to go find one that's dead and they've given up and they're not having revival anymore and they've been suckered into these last days stuff. You can't do it for God anymore. God's still alive. And God still wants to reach people. And it's everybody wants to put God on the back burner and put our stuff on the front. You need to switch that thing around and put God on the forefront of your heart and in your mind. But boy, Diotrephes, he said, them bus kids are too hyper. Yeah, I know. And they are. So what are you going to do about it? I'm going to give them some pie. Let me tell you something. If you've been watching over the last many years, you've watched some bus kids come and get saved. They were hyper when it started, but then you watch them begin to calm down and grow. Now some of them are more faithful than some of you. Now some of them are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. They go soul winning, and you don't even do that. I wouldn't criticize the people that are outgrowing you. But you'd say, well, they're not everybody that comes is distinguished. Well, neither are you. Who made you think that you are? We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Diotrephes turned his arrogant nose up. When often the Diotrepheses are really lazy, self-centered, people that have a lack of faith, dead, dry, and unwilling. And because Demetrius's and Gaius's make something happen, the Diotrephes gets under conviction. So rather than the Diotrephes doing the right thing, wants to slow the people who are doing the right thing down. Do you know that if your only way up is to pull people down to your level, you're pretty cowardly, and that's not the way it's supposed to be done? Diotrephes, he won't be faithful during the program. He's going to invite no one. He's going to be cold and careless about the lost. He never goes soul winning and then looks down on the preacher when he talks about it. A Diotrephes says, well, there were 8 people saved last week, but Pastor, how many of them do you think meant it? I have a question for you. How many of your converts meant it? Oh, that's easy. Nobody got saved because of you. Well, I can't judge someone's heart. I know that when we share the gospel, we show them what the Bible said. We teach them what the Bible said, and we allow them the privilege of placing their faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, a Diotrephes, though, boy, he can get critical. He questions. He's got a bad mental attitude, questions the pastor's motive, never says amen, never uses the altar, never wins a soul, got a negative attitude, and he's a spirit quencher. So you have 3 personalities, a Gaius on fire, a Demetrius, kind of average, spectator, faithful, needed. And then a Diotrephes, negative, dragging his feet while others are pulling ahead. Be careful. Don't find yourself like that. If you have been a Diotrephes, could I recommend something? Why don't you step up and become a Demetrius? Why don't you say, look, maybe I won't do much, but what I'm going to do is I'm not going to have a bad attitude about it. Hey, if you're a Demetrius, maybe you ought to consider moving up to being a Gaius. Go from spectator to participator. Hey, if you're a Gaius, maybe you could step up to being a John. Say, who is John? He's the one that motivated Gaius. He's the one that said, I'm in. This is a real deal. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. We better reach all the people that we can. If you're newer in our church, if you're a guest in our church, if you can't tell, I'm an old-time revivalist. I don't believe in dead, dry churches. I believe God is still working, and I believe that God wants to save people, and I believe that we're to be interested in the success of the New Testament church. It's not to be on the back burner. It's to be on the front. If you're here and you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. I've spoken predominantly to the church member today. What will your spring attitude be? Will you be a Gaius? Will you be a Demetrius? Will you be a Diotrephes? You'll pick. If you're here and you're not saved, we welcome you. We'd love for you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible teaches everyone's a sinner. The Bible teaches there is a penalty for that sin. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He told us if we would ask Him to forgive us of our sin, to come into our heart and save us, He would do so. If you're not saved, you can be saved today. If you are saved, decide what kind of attitude you'll have about the local New Testament church and the program that God would have for its growth. Oh, not a people factory. I dream that up. You say, well, what did God want? He wanted us to reach the entire world. That's a little bigger than my program, but we're trying to get there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm born again. Is there anybody here that would raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. You say, if I died today, good, I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I don't know if I died today, I would go to heaven. How many of you could raise your hand and say, Pastor, I do know I'm saved. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I've trusted Him as Savior. God bless you. You may put your hand down. If you've never been saved, if you'll come during this altar call, we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We have men and ladies. Men that will deal with men, ladies that will deal with ladies. If you're not saved, in a matter of a couple minutes, they could show you the Scripture and what it says about being born again. You need to be saved. You come. Hey, Christian, there are some of you Sunday school teachers or bus captains, some of you that are soul winners. Maybe you ought to come to the altar for a moment and pray and say, God, help me. I want to be a Gaius. I want to be productive. I want to reach people for Jesus. There's some of you, you used to tell others about Jesus. You don't anymore. There's some of you, you have the influence where you could get people to your church, but you're not. You don't use it. I wish you would. Think about it. Ask yourself, which kind of a church member am I? Am I a Diotrephes? Am I a Demetrius? Am I a Gaius? Which do you want to be? You might need a moment of prayer at this altar. If you're unsaved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Soul winner, do you need to come and say, God, help me. I want to be more involved. Sunday school teacher, do you need to decide not to just coast, but you want to get excited about it? How about it, bus worker? How about it, Sunday school teacher? Hey, how about your neighbors? How about your friends? How about your family? How about your workmates? Do you need to come and pray and say, God, help me. I want to invite those people. I want them to become a part. I'm going to tell some people about Jesus. I'll be a part of the people factory. I have to tell you, old-time Baptist churches all used to get excited about revival time and making something happen for God. But boy, they are dead. They're more excited today about their portfolio or some big fancy building. And thank God we've got a nice building. I'm grateful for what we have, but the building is not what this is all about. Anybody that goes to a factory, the issue is not the factory building, it's what's being produced. Well, what is produced at the church is salvations, changed lives, marriages salvaged, people with their lives increased and made better for Jesus Christ. How about it, bus worker? How about it, Sunday school teacher? How about some of you assistant Sunday school teachers that ought to be more involved? When was the last time you said to your teacher, hey, let's go visit, I'll visit with you? Some of you could invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite your family, invite your boss, invite your workmate. Gaius, excited, productive, involved, wanted to be a part. Demetrius, average, a little numb, not cold, not hot, not opposing, not necessarily a cheerleader for the Gaiuses. Oh, and then the Diotrephes, negative. All sees is the negative. Matter of fact, slows things down. Won't visit, won't greet the visitors. Just irritated. Somebody took their pew. Somebody took their parking spot. Somebody can just, there are people waiting in line at the restroom. Diotrephes is irate about it. This is the last time through the song. We'll be on our way in a matter of a moment.